Tausch begins now. We will hear from Matt LaFleur from a few of our exchanges yesterday in his day after the game press conference. And Gabe Neitzel made an interesting observation when I was talking to him and Jen and Chewy this morning on ESPN Milwaukee, which was he thought, as he consumed the press conference with LaFleur, he thought the head coach was kind of just going through the motions until I asked him about Bo Melton. And then his mood completely changed, and he loves him some Bo Melton, maybe almost as much as he loves some of the other players that he's had over the years, like Mercedes Lewis, who was one of his guys, Davante Adams. But Bo's climbing up the charts. But Tausch, I guess, you know, we tried to kind of get a feel for how he feels about where they're at. They've won four in a row. They were, I mean, they were down in the dumps. They lost back-to-back games. There's questions about him being on the hot seat, if he's coaching for his job. Fans were very restless, frustrated, angry. And now they've won four in a row, and it's almost, at least this was my kind of takeaway from his mood and how he answered questions, like he feels like maybe they got burned a little bit by feeling good about themselves, and he doesn't really want to present any vibe at all of them feeling good about what they've done the last 4 weeks. Is that just bring your own bewaredness after what you went through earlier in the year, or what?
No, I think it's what, you know, just go back to Mike McCarthy, and I think the hardest thing to do in professional sports is handle success, because, you know, obviously this group has not won a championship, so that hunger and that drive is never going to be questioned. But it is a lot more difficult to keep an edge. And that's not saying guys are slacking off or anything like that. What it's saying is there is a level, there's levels of intensity, and you can't always function. You have to shift gears. You can't always be driving 180 miles an hour in top gear. Sometimes you got to shift down, and you have to, you know, maneuver a corner. You have to do things, and when you shift, sometimes that will get you where you need to go, but it's not as fast. Here with this group, you're always in. I always like it when there's a big edge. Oh, these guys can't do this. Oh, they just lost here. Oh, they're in a rut. Now, the balance of that is losing your confidence and then just falling into it. Well, this group never did. But then there's also the, not that we've arrived, but things are going pretty dang good. Do I have enough wherewithal to say, yeah, but we got to keep pushing? You know, athletes never want to take their victory lap until the actual trophy's in their hands. In a long season like an NFL season, you're going to have some hiccups. And I think Matt LaFleur knows. Non-conference game, road game, good football team. I think he is on high aware. He's highly alerted, because you're talking about emptying a bucket for two super emotional divisional games that you knew you needed to win. And then, by the way, a huge roadie next week on a Saturday. And how much emotional capital do you have? And how much do you want to spend? You want to spend every week and then revitalize it. And I think that's what he's looking at this week when you're talking about going out and playing a really good Denver team.
We will hear from Matt LaFleur, because I think this segues nicely into what he had said after the game, which was when someone pointed out to him that they were in first place, he said, that doesn't matter at all. And then he kind of backtracked, realizing how bad that sounded. So I asked him about it yesterday. We'll hear that coming up after Tausch tells us about the beer that's always in first place for him in his fridge, Coors Light.
Indeed, and whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience, or heading out to Golden, Colorado, try to get a big dub out in Denver, it's always going to be a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light in my hand. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
If I may, one of the things we do here is seek out praise from each other when we don't praise. Hey, attaboys.
Oh,
hey, good
praise?
Work. Yeah, we seek praise, right?
Wow.
Hey, that was a great analogy, wasn't it? I would like to make a request of the powers that be that are in charge of emojis. We need more bird options. Because for our question about the teams, I used a sheep for the Rams, lion for the Lions, one of those pickaxes like you would use to climb Mount Everest for the 49ers, right? Because they're prospectors.
Nice.
Sure.
Eagles, straightforward. Seahawks, bird options? I went dove because you can't really tell that it's a dove.
Umbrella for Seattle.
Rain. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, I felt pretty good about my emoji selections, but now, in retrospect, Jesse, you're right.
That's where grunge music got invented, too, right?
Was so you think a guitar?
Coffee.
Coffee.
But they're called the Seahawks. They're not called the...
Or just a fish. Get a flying fish. That's what they're known for. Throwing.
I don't know if there's a flying fish either.
No,
I know
they also have a gum wall. You could throw the gum wall up
That's
there.
That's gross.
Which is disgusting.
Can you take them off of there like an elf or no?
Yeah, if you wanted to chew somebody else's gum, I'm sure you could.
All right, okay. I want to talk about Matt LaFleur and what he had to say yesterday. We will do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Question before we get to LaFleur. Jesse, while you were spending those 68 minutes waiting for your pizza, are you able to access like our list of royalty-free music on your phone? Like, did you have access to that? Because I was promised Christmas royalty-free music, and I'm not hearing that.
Tomorrow.
Wasn't that supposed to be today?
I was busy yesterday. Barry Alvarez show last night with Tarek and Derek at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. I got almost.
Was Barb there?
Barb was not. A different friend of ours stopped by, though, last night to say hi. So we had a few people.
The pizza guy?
Taking it. He was not a pizza guy, no. So we had a few people stop by. No Barry last night. Barry was on vacation this week, so he was not.
So it really was the Jesse Nelson show.
It was the the Tarek Salah show, I think, took center stage. We have a big debate about the college football playoff and. The choice to leave Notre Dame out and James Madison and Tulane being in. We also talked recruiting, which Derek was pretty fired up about. So
Tark's real physical. I saw Tark at the Marquette, Wisconsin game, and he's always he still wants to be playing ball. And he wants to like get a pass rush rep in. He's always ripped
full back,
doing like a rip move. He's a physical bear.
When he gets really fired up on a point, he sometimes kind of gives me a nudge on my shoulder, and sometimes it gets a little aggressive. I'm like, oh, might be a little bruise there now.
Where can we listen to the Jesse Nelson show without Barry Alvarez?
That would be on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Full show podcasts available there of all your favorite ESPN Wisconsin shows. Also on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
The Barry Alvarez show at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse without Barry Alvarez last night. Jesse Nelson taking a starring role. All right, speaking of starring roles, Matt LaFleur talked for almost 19 minutes yesterday. We had a myriad of questions, but I did want to follow up on how he's approaching the fact that his team is now in first place. A couple weeks ago, you were worried they weren't even going to make the playoffs after back-to-back losses. Here is that exchange from yesterday.
And somebody said yesterday you're in first place, and first you said... it means nothing, and then you said, well, it means a lot. So I understand why you would say it doesn't mean much because of the work you have to do, but what does it mean that you guys have got you got some momentum now? A couple weeks ago, you lost to the Panthers and the Eagles, and people were wondering kind of where you were headed.
Yeah, I mean, that's life in the National Football League, and I think you just got to be resilient, you got to keep fighting, and you got to ignore all the outside noise. I mean, just focus. I really only care about what's going on in that room with our team, with our players, within our building, and all that other stuff. And we understand. I mean, like, It's a blessing and a curse, and to be a part of the National Football League in that regard, you're going to be highly criticized, and it is what it is. So the best way to not be criticized is just find a way to win.
Did you do anything differently, or was your thought process, we know what we do works, I'm not going to change just because we've lost two in a row?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're always trying to tweak and fine-tune things. Nothing's ever constant, at least you have a format of how you want to go about, you know, practicing or your weekly prep, but you also have to have a feel for your team, where you're at, where you may need to invest a little bit more time, how you might want to do something a little bit different. So I would say those tweaks are pretty common, at least in our building, in terms of how we do things. And but it's just trying to find that balance. And my number one concern, and this, whether it's at the beginning of the season, end of the season, we just got to continue to fight and try to find ways to get better. And sometimes you got to overcome some obstacles like injuries and whatnot. And there's sometimes a learning curve in terms of, okay, how do we fill that spot that this player, you know, that void that player left there. And but that's the challenge of every team in the league. It's not like we're, you know, unique from everybody else. We're all dealing with this stuff.
So, Tao, she said a lot of words there. I still don't know.
Again, I notice when you ask questions, he takes a lot of water breaks.
He does. He got to stay hydrated. He knows he's got some time. I caught him by surprise after the game. I gave him a very short question, and I don't think he was ready for that. He said a lot of words there. I still want to understand, did you just stay the course? Because it doesn't feel like they made a lot of significant changes after they'd lost back-to-back games and everybody was calling for his head. Not everybody, but some were calling for his head. We talk all the time about the Mike McCarthyism of our biggest challenge will be handling success. But there are times where you have to handle adversity. And it would appear, based on the results, that they handled it well. How do you view it?
Yeah, they've handled it very well. And, you know, a lot of times everybody wants to change everything about everything. And I think what he was saying there, yeah, there was a lot of word salad because there's, you know, long-winded questions get long-winded answers a lot of times.
Yeah.
No offense.
None taken.
But you change what you feel like you need to do in order to, and, you know, Christian Watson emerging obviously has helped. The offensive line and bringing Big Belton in and, you know, Sean Ryan kind of settling into that center spot. But Aaron Banks has gotten healthier. I think Zach Tom has gotten healthier. There's always other things that kind of come into play. But I just think you look at what this group has been able to do and you start figuring out your formula. And when you're losing, you have to really dig in and say, why are we losing? What is hurting us? Why aren't we able to find ways to win? And I think Matt LaFleur has figured out that, hey, we have a really good defense that can make a lot of plays, and they're creating a couple more turnovers. They've been very good outside of Jordan's errant throw the other day, very good protecting the football. And I think when you start looking at all of that, that's been their formula. And Matt LaFleur is leaning into it. He's being a heck of a lot more aggressive, and I think he's looking at things more week to week and more what do I need to do as you just take a look at two of these four wins. Couldn't be more polar opposite.
Yeah.
Minnesota Vikings game, everybody on the post game, oh, my God, it was a boring, conservative game plan. What are they doing? Oh, they could have done this. They could have. And I'm looking at it like, the hell are you guys talking about? Like, you got a game in 4 days on the road. And for you to be able to do what you did, knowing that their offense stinks and they can't move the ball, I thought it was genius. And then you flip the script and you say, well, we got to go to Detroit. I got to go for it on every blank and fourth down. I got to put the pedal down. I got to do this as an offensive unit. We need to do this, this, this. And they executed. I think it's been his best coaching he's done because he isn't just sitting there. Coaches will Coaches want to have things that they can lean on, hang your hat on, whatever you phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's NFL, you have to adjust and understand what is the formula to win this game this week. It isn't about, well, we're really good at running power, and even though the Bears don't have any linebackers, and we can extort them over the middle of the field, and we can do this and this and this. Nope, we run power. It's what we do. Nope, we run outside zone. It's what we do. Yeah, those days are over, man. We need to score. This is their weak spots. This is where we can attack. Oh, we need some big plays. Well, the Bears are going to blitz us. Well, instead of me just saying, well, we run into this box. We do this. No, we're going to rip their blank and throw it out. I'm going to give the quarterback the autonomy to say, hey, we got one-on-one with Christian Watson. We're going to go score a blank and touchdown on a slant because they are being overly aggressive trying to stop us. And that's what they do. So Matt LaFleur deserves oogles of credit for how he's approached, especially the last 3 weeks against the divisional opponents that he's done.
You made a comment there amid, that was not a word salad. It was really good.
Oogles.
Yeah. We're not doing that anymore. We only do that after 11:15. I'm curious. You talked about being more aggressive. The Bears played a fair amount of man coverage. They played a lot of one high safety. I'm curious, again, what happens when teams play two high safeties is that they run the ball more, and you can't take the shots down the field like the throw.
Can't.
Right.
Can't.
So the throw to Melton. Both of the touchdowns to Watson were cans from runs to passes, or at the minimum, because I think the other one was still a pass, but they adjusted Watson's route on it. Like, they can still make adjustments, but if they see two high safeties, Packers fans who don't want to see them run the football are going to see them run the football because they still believe that's the right thing to do against that look. Can they still be more aggressive, which has Packers fans liking Matt LaFleur again, while also doing the right thing based on what the defense is showing them?
Can they do both? It's a really good question, and that is going to be the trick to see, because if I'm playing Green Bay, I am looking at what Carolina did.
Yes.
I'm looking at what Philly. Now, Philly, not everybody has the talent that Philly mm-hmm. has that they can do that.
Yep.
But I am making you go down and be patient. Is Jordan Love going to sit back and take what the defense gives? Jordan Love, he is much more of a gunslinger than I think we all thought.
He loves
wants
to throw the ball
to make
down
big
the field.
Plays. Mm-hmm. He ain't interested in dink, dunk, Charlie check down. Like, he'll do it when called upon. But I am going to test him to see how patient he can be. And hopefully he's up to the task. I think he is. But, boy, I am not giving him big plays over the top. I am going to say you need to sit in the pocket and you need to go through your checks and you just need to take what we give you. That's what these teams have done. Why the Bears decided to go with as much one safety and give up the big plays that they did, I don't know. I'm guessing it's because they didn't think they could hold up front mm-hmm. with their run game. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. And Josh Jacobs had one of his better days running the football. So, you know, but if I'm playing Green Bay, I'm saying, do you have the patience to give Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, everybody else 25 to 30 carries? I don't know if you do. That's what I would do. And that's what I think playoff football is going to look like. And I would bet the Denver Broncos are not going to let you make big plays. They have a really good pass rush. Number 15, get used to it. What's 15's name, Jason, for Denver?
I haven't gotten into my film study of the Broncos
yet.
Well,
he is a hell of a player. He's a bender. He is a pass rusher. He's really good off the edge. And the Denver Broncos are going to play, we're going to get home with four. We're going to drop coverage. We'll mix in some blitzes because that's what they do. But Denver is going to test. This game will tell you a lot about our offense when you're starting to play playoff caliber teams, because the Denver Broncos defense is pretty dang good, and they can do what they are going to mix and match and do a bunch of different things. They will test Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love in a lot of big ways.
Nick Bonito.
He's good.
Bonito. He is a fantastic football player. He has not gotten, obviously, the name recognition yet because he's just coming on. But I assure you, the G&G will say, we ain't letting this cat beat us on Sunday. I don't know if he'll be a bullseye guy, but he is definitely going to be, I don't know, what's below a bullseye? He'll be a triple 17 guy.
He was an all-pro last year. He was a pro bowler last year. He has 12 and a half sacks this season.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player.
Where's he
from? What college
Oklahoma.
Is he from?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's a player, man. But no, but he's not. He is a TJ Watt, Miles. He's not up in because of the name recognition.
Yeah.
But he is going to draw very similar, probably not to Miles or Micah's degree, but he will draw a lot of attention from this coaching staff this week. You best believe that.
Yeah. You know what draws my attention? Is when you put out your latest video from Jones Dairy Farm. Is there a new one coming down the pike?
I would think the one that we did with some volleyball folks will be dropping hopefully soon, and it's good. It's real good. We had a lot of fun with Jones Dairy Farm, and Jones Dairy Farm, family-owned, operated for seven generations in Fort Atkinson all the way back to 1889. Best known for their all-natural sausage made from the original family recipe. Still haven't gotten it. I don't know if I'll ever get the recipe from Philip and their great team, but I can go get their food, and it is fantastic. Fresh meat only, no fillers, nitrates, none of that. And also, trying to figure what you're going to do for the holidays. You got Christmas parties. You got your hosting folks. Grab a ham. Get a smoked ham. It adds a lot of flavor to the table. And also those sausage rolls or the pork rolls. The pork rolls, I'm telling you, we could put it with everything we make. You put it with horchetta and some spinach. You crisp it up. It just, oh, baby, it makes it the best. Find out. Go ahead. Look at JonesDairyFarm.com for their product finder. You can find out or all across the great grocery stores in the state of Wisconsin.
We'll hear more from Matt LaFleur next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
One of my favorite Christmas songs from the Rolodex of...
I told you, tomorrow!
Royalty-free music, You Look Good On Me by...
Just call it in ahead, but only give yourself like 10 minutes to figure out how to get that done.
Seems to be a good approach.
Does Jesse think he's Jimmy Halpert when he always does that? I'll make a comment, and he doesn't say anything, but he looks at the camera like he's Jimmy Halpert.
Like, he does take that move a lot. He loves that move.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
Let's see it again. That is your Jimmy.
Can we gif-ify that? That's pretty good stuff. Jesse, I want to call an audible here. This may throw you off, but I know that you're very agile.
Kyle Schwarber, 5-year deal with the Phillies per Jeff Passan.
That was good that the Cubs let him get out of their building, wasn't it? No, not that. I want to do the tight end exchange I had with Matt LaFleur, not the Bo Melton one. We'll save Bo Melton for the next segment. Because Tausch won our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week because he chose Jaden Reed.
And we were, and by the way, Jaden Reed wasn't even on the active roster when I picked him.
It was a good pick.
I'm sorry. Let me try that again.
Great pick.
It was an amazing pick.
Ball knower.
So smart.
Oh my god.
Savvy.
Right away, bold. You knew he was going to win. They went to him right away.
In fairness, it was another BKW for OT.
Yes, sure was.
Yeah. We call it the Bequat now.
Hey, I'm wondering if the BKW, since he knows so much more than the rest of us, would like to start picking last instead and see how that goes.
Yeah.
Because some might argue that while bold to select a player who's not yet on the 53-man roster, you did select a player who led them in receiving each of his first two seasons and was largely a foregone conclusion that he was going to play.
No, I like the setup as it is.
That's what I thought. Jesse went second, and he chose wisely as well. Frankly, he got hosed a little bit. Because if the other catch counts...
You're now... this is no longer my firm. Like, the firm has broken off.
No, he didn't get hosed by AFC Richmond Analytics. He got hosed by the officiating crew. Because I think it's a tough call.
And the pizza place.
And the pizza place, yeah. If that catch counts with the world's worst replay angle... Like, I have to go back and watch the TV cop, because I want to hear, did they bring in Dean Blandino, who I apparently was on site?
No, they just went by it. They went to commercial,
break,
and then
they came back, and they're like, not a catch. Hit the ground. Second down.
Okay. So, that was a weird deal.
Yeah, so if he catches that, Jesse, I think there's an argument to be made that you would have won. I would have lost. Nate Hobbs got benched again, replaced by another guy who's also injured, and Javon Bullard. They would rather have him out there. I'm done with Nate Hobbs, but, and we'll see if the Packers are after the season, but Luke Musgrave, who I think caught that ball, I thought Luke Musgrave showed us a little something. And all three of those guys, John Fitzpatrick and Josh Wiley Coyote, all had a catch. And so I asked Matt LaFleur if again, none of them are Tucker Kraft. I think that goes without saying. But are they starting to kind of find their footing with what they've got at that position? Here is that exchange.
Matt, I know the catch didn't count, although I'm not quite sure why. What did you think of what Luke gave you, and are you starting to see him settle in a little bit, and are you getting a better idea of what all three of those guys can kind of give you individually?
Yeah, I thought those guys collectively as a whole played pretty darn good football. It was pretty cool that each one of those guys had a reception. You know, I thought Luke, that was a heck of an effort, but apparently they didn't see it how I saw it, so that's just part of it. But yeah, I think all those guys contribute in their own way, and we're getting a better idea of what each individual brings to our offense.
By the way, great job by me keeping it relatively concise. So he didn't have time to get a drink during that question.
He was shocked,
I think. Wait till the Bo Melton one.
That was.
What did he start? I would love to see him bring like a Keurig in and start brewing coffee while you start talking. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, hold up a second, Jason. He brings his own barista in, and he's like, "Hold up, anybody else want a coffee before Jason gets started?" Like. That would be fun.
Him and Clooney doing Nespresso ads. All right, so, Tausch, you and I and Jesse, we're all Tucker Kraft stands, like, and rightfully so. The guy's a really, really good football player. You're not going to be as good of a team without him as you are with him. But do you think between Watson's production and what they have at wide receiver and kind of figuring out how to use the tight ends – plus Darian Kennard, who should be included in there because he's playing a theoretical tight end spot when he comes in as eligible. Do you think that they've kind of figured out a way to get through at tight end? Certainly not thrive, but at least survive.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. You're not thriving because nobody is even close. And Musgrave, I think, is trying. He's getting, I guess, marginally better. He did, I think, if he would have caught that ball, that does bring a little more stats to it. But Tucker Kraft is one of the best tight ends in the league. You're not going to just figure that out. What you've done is you've replaced him now, I think, in essence, with Christian Watson.
Yeah.
You've replaced him with now hopefully Jaden Reed can stay healthy the rest of the way. And then if you can get Dontavian Wicks back, those reps and those – it wasn't long ago – and this is where I'm always, like, I don't love the conversations because when you start looking at, well, this guy needs more touches, this guy, how's that working for Philly? Is A.J. Yep. Brown a lot happier because he's getting a lot of touches? This offense is based on open guy, get him the football. And now you can design plays and try to get Christian Watson one-on-one with a slower corner that you can torch. That's good coaching. That's kind of more how I've looked at it. As far as the tight end group goes as a whole, we miss Tucker Kraft, I think, a ton still.
Yes.
You're not seeing the keep passes and the little dump offs in the middle of the field where Tucker just barrels over people. We don't have that. And that's something that, especially in the play action pass game, you have to recreate it in a different format, and that's where you bring in Kennard, you do some things. I get where everything is going, but it is, I think, surviving that position, not thriving, is exactly the right way to put it.
I am curious what Luke Musgrave will do in the final four games, because I personally would not choose him on Prize Picks, but he's at least shown in the last couple weeks some signs of life, right? His catch in Detroit was a really good catch. I would argue the catch that wasn't was a really good catch. And so there are encouraging signs from a guy that, I had kind of written off. And when you were seeing John Fitzpatrick play more snaps than him, that was not a very good omen for him and where he was headed. But he seems to have at least, to some degree, answered the bell. Fair?
I'd agree. Yep, I would agree. And I think, it comes down to, don't just say, this is what our tight ends do. What can our tight ends excel in? And I think Matt LaFleur, I don't know if that's – and Musgrave's still not getting a ton of reps. They don't want him blocking. That's
correct.
Become fairly obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
But getting him down on a seam route, running him, get him out, let him use his athleticism in a speed way, not in an explosive, I'm going to bowl you over way, which Tucker does. That's on your coaches to figure out what we can do, because it's not going to be 15 big plays from him. If you can squeeze three or four semi-impactful plays out of Musgrave, you'd be pretty happy.
So you're going to pick him on Prize Picks?
I don't know what I'm going to do, but I went last week, Bo Nix, less than 223.5. That was a dub. He was 212. Geno Smith, I went less completion percentage. That was a dub. Caleb Williams caught me, 58.9. Got that one, 54.3. Pretty good week for old T. But Josh Jacobs, that rascal. Just that 21-yard run did me in. Great run. Not great for me on Prize Picks, but it was fun. We have a lot of fun on Prize Picks, don't we? It's the holiday season. It is the best time of the year for sports. Bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes, they're all happening now. And Prize Picks is the simplest way to play daily fantasy sports. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Choose more or less on at least two player stats. Get them right. Cash in. Deposits are fast and easy. Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, more. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, Jell, NBA Cup action. That's some sweet, sweet action. NBA Cup going.
Who on earth has ever said the phrase NBA Cup action? That's some sweet action.
Let's be honest. We were excited last year with the Bucks.
Champion.
We were excited with the Bucks going to win a chip, figuring out where we wanted to hang that banner, everything else.
Chip.
Beat
yeah.
the winners
you know,
of the NBA
right.
Finals in the first year of their dynasty.
We should have gotten that. Should have gotten us another crack at Oklahoma City for the whole World's Championship. Again, use code WI, $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good
to be right. Jesse, do you think the Bo Melton question is the shortest question I've ever asked?
It is certainly in the running.
That's a tease. You'll hear it, and Matt LaFleur's answer, next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. Keep it right here after Wilde and Tausch, and join us for the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
There seems to be a strong debate in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube discussion about whether or not Matt LaFleur is good or not still, which I thought maybe the last 4 weeks would have done away with some of that discussion, but apparently not. We'll get to that maybe in the 11 o'clock hour because, look, I want to be clear for, I don't remember who was asking this. We don't play these because we and I enjoy the sound of my own voice. We make fun of me for my long questions and Matt LaFleur pulling out his Keurig. But they are really interesting, in my opinion, jumping off points for conversations to have on the show. That's why we do it.
Jason, and I'm just going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't love giving you a ton of love. You get good answers. That's why we plan.
Thank you.
It's also a little bit of a flex that you ask a bunch of questions of the head coach on a regular basis,
you,
so we get to showcase that a little
your
bit.
And it's kind of, you get,
you're not
you get
doing
good
that.
Answers.
We're doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, Jesse is.
I would be fine if they went back to the old days when these weren't broadcast, but that's never going to happen. So, Matt LaFleur loves him some Bo Melton. He was gushing after the game. Some might say glazing. I love Bo Melton. I love Bo Melton. Like, Bo Melton now, every time I see him in the locker room, has to say hello and dap me up. He's hugged me a couple times, which, again, I'm a hugger by nature.
Like big hug or like a bro hug?
No, like sometimes bro hug, but other times like a little longer than the typical bro hug. And again.
Like Aunt Cindy at Thanksgiving kind of hug?
Not quite that long. By the way, we have made she and Jeff big fans of the show now. They're listening. I think they might just be listening to see how often they get mentioned. But nevertheless, they're tuning in. But as a reporter, it's kind of over the line, right? Like I don't think I should be hugging players. But what do you do? You give them the Heisman? I'm not going to do that. I really like. He's a good dude, and everyone on that team loves him. As you will understand further from Matt LaFleur's answer to the question.
Uh-oh, hang on a second. Hang on.
Well, that really was a short question. I just thought my question, and he knew what I wanted to ask.
He couldn't even get the top of his little water bottle open here.
Yeah, did you see that? He started to open the bottle.
That is.
And he was so taken aback by the brevity that
he couldn't believe. Will be asked
no
short
worthy from this. All right, let's see if this works instead.
He is a G, so... just his
contributions.
I messed it up. Hang on. All right. I don't know how this all works.
I bet it's the pizza person's fault.
Yeah.
Sure
all
it
right.
is.
The guy's fault.
Rewind. Back that up. All right.
You want to try it fault. Again?
Here
Mom
we go.
Screwed this
Third
up.
Third time's the charm. No, this one's on me.
Wow.
What?
No. Never thought I'd hear that.
Why was it so important to keep Bo on this team?
Oh, Bo is... He is one of us. He is made of the right stuff. He is a G, so... just his contributions. I think you could see it, just how excited. I mean, everybody's excited when you score a touchdown. But I don't know if you guys saw the sidelines and just how everybody reacted when he scored that touchdown. I mean, we've got to be careful that we don't have guys coming off the bench without their helmet on. So, but they were fired up for Bo, and Bo just what you're going to get every time. You're going to get his absolute best. He is going to fight for everything out there, and what's so cool is just the moment's never too big for him, whether it's on special teams, defense, offense, and for him to be in that situation to make obviously a very impactful play was pretty cool.
The follow-up, not asked by me, asked by Wes Hodkowitz of Packers.com, was about the fact that Bo Melton continues to go to the meetings for both wide receiver and corner, and obviously is in special teams meetings because he's one of the kick returners. He's on all four special teams core units. Tausch, if you are a ball knowing fool, you are a smart football player. How would you have managed? Let's say you and Gooch. We're playing both ways. How would you have managed going to the defensive line and offensive line meetings and practicing in both spots during practice?
Yeah, I've been fine. Would have been fine.
How, okay.
Well, Jason, sure obviously it's a huge challenge, and
right.
it's hard enough to play one spot and to understand, all right, the nuances of it, what your plan is, and then studying the talent that you're going against and, you know, reading linebacker alignment and, you know, what's going to happen and blitz pickup and short yardage. And so it's double the work. It would be – so Bo Melton, I would say, is the opposite of Jesse Nelson. Bo Melton is the anti-Jesse Nelson. It is, I am going to do extra for the same amount of money, whereas Jesse is looking at saying, how can I do less for more money? Because Bo knows his role on this team is to do everything that is asked of him. And I give Jesse grief, but Jesse does the same thing. He's going to produce our show. Oh, Jim Matt Molly need a producer, someone to step in. He'll do that. Oh, Prep Mania, he's going to go do that. So maybe Bo is more Jesse than we like to give Jesse credit, because Jesse has to do board op, then he has to host, and then he's got to produce the volleyball. He's got to do this. You have to figure out what is my role and how am I going to be the best at it I can. That's why players love him. That, and he brings a great energy to the room.
Mm-hmm.
And coaches love him because he's the same cat. Coaches like sleeping at night. Coaches yep. want to know, this is what I'm going to get. And when you have that, even though maybe there's a better wideout and a better corner as a whole, is there a better guy that fits what you need in that locker room right now? And the answer is Bo.
Jesse, just out of curiosity, since we brought this up, the Badgers' schedule – for volleyball, are they the first game or the second game? And are you facing the same incredible
hardship? No, they're not hosting, so they'll have it'll for surely it'll be a dead set time. No cable guy on the road, right?
It is 9 minutes after the top of the hour. Tausch is going to be fired up about this. I will bring it up during the Wonelli segment to let you know all about our volleyball.
I didn't know if this was a short or a long conversation.
Yeah.
So that's a tease for the 11 o'clock hour. In the interim, Bo Melton works hard. Jesse Nelson sometimes works hard. You know who always works hard for you? Associated Bank. Best customer service in the industry with the awards to prove it. And all the great perks that you could be looking for. Early pay. Having access to your direct deposit from your employer up to 2 days early. Credit monitoring. Got a big purchase you want to make? You want to make sure your credit is in a good spot to do it. They've got that. And, of course, fraud protection. I experienced that firsthand. They had my back the entire way and made sure we and our money were safe. On top of that, Brewers checking, Badgers checking, and Packers checking. It's everything you want in a bank, and it's local. It's not branches that make a bank local. It's roots, and their roots are
deep. That's good.
In Wisconsin.
That's good. I can't believe you came up with that for Associated. That's pretty
good.
That's
a good line by Jason.
I deserve so much credit for coming up with that. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.